More to come. We're going to have a great night tonight. Excited about it. Poor Pastor Louis, man. This thing's been building up in him for a long time. It's ready to explode, you know. Hey, we want to welcome everyone here tonight. If you don't know where you are, you're in the presence of saints rescued from hell. Oh, wow. A couple things. Be sure afterwards, if you get a chance, if we're all still standing, we have a resource table out there with books and I don't know what all we got out there. We also have these creeds that I've written. I really received an incredible touch of God last year after a 7-year battle with cancer that was incurable. And I wrote some creeds. I wrote a healing creed, an identity creed. And it's got about 60 different phrases around it, 50 or 60 different phrases around it. And then the creed in the middle that I constructed is one that you can confess for yourself, your friends, or whatever, just speaking really the word of the Lord over your life for healing or for alignment of your destiny. It's a big issue in the kingdom that you understand who you are in Christ and you begin to align yourself to that. And when you do that, flow begins to happen. Things that, there'll still be challenges, there'll still be troubles that come your way, but it just won't matter because you know who you are. You're able to walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. So check those out at the back table. Also, we just wanted to... I got to get my little announcement thing on. Wrong page. Sorry, just talk among yourselves. Oh, yes. Tomorrow, we have an outreach to Slavic Village. We need your help. Any of you can help us out. All hands on deck. Meet us over at on East 65th between Broadway and Fleet in front of the Art Center. You'll see that's halfway down between Fleet and Broadway on East 65th. And we're going to be ministering to a lot of young children tomorrow starting at 10 o'clock. We'll be reaching out to them. And then from 11, is it 11 to 12:30, right? We'll actually, they will be gathering, we'll be ministering to them. So we need your help. And there is a sign-up sheet out there on your way out. If you forget, don't sign up. You can still show up tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock in Slavic Village, reaching some of the poorest of the poor in the city and the great needs that are there, just 5 minutes from here. And we want to bless them. Those that are from Bethel, those are from North Coast, we're partnering on this, and we sure would appreciate your involvement in that. Also, this Sunday night at Bethel Akron. Bethel Akron is on Interstate 76 in Grant. We own a Catholic church down there, and we've got a great group of people. Sunday night, Tommy Tenney is speaking at 6 o'clock. How many of you know who Tommy is? The ultimate God chaser. You talk about a man who's hungry for God, and he's going to be there, and we're just... You got to go to Akron to understand what happens on Sunday night, but it's a pull out the stops. It's like a conference every Sunday night. We just have a great time together. If you don't have anything to do Sunday night, come down 6 o'clock, 734 Grant Street. You'll see the big Catholic church with the big bell tower, and come on in. We're going to have a great time together with Tommy Tenney Sunday night. And then finally, North Coast School of Supernatural Ministry is starting this fall. And we're excited about it. We've had a school ministry in Brunswick for a couple years. We're excited that other things are emerging because with what God's about to do, it's all hands on deck. We need everyone equipped, everyone trained. Now, there's a sacrifice to it of time and finances and study and those things. How many of you know that most things that are really valuable involve a sacrifice of some sort? Well, this school is powerful. I mean, the students in our school have become an engine of revival. and apparently they're spread throughout this group right now, but they're an engine of revival. It is one of the most magnificent things for the church, and I know church on the North Coast is going to benefit greatly from this School of the Spirit, but you got to get on board now. You need to get in there. There's some kind of special rate because it's the first year. You want to check that out. There's brochures. There's a special table set up out there. And if you're from the Lorraine area or anywhere in this area that you want to be a part of it, in fact, we have people in our school that come from like an hour away. They're so hungry and so desirous to go deeper in the Lord. If you've ever wanted good mentoring, good training, and good discipleship, it's at a very high level. I tell people it's like 10 years of normal Christianity condensed into one. So you're going to be compressed. It's boot camp, you know. You're going to love it and hate it all at the same time. But at the end of the year, you're going to come out shining, strong, as an emerging revivalist. So we have a brief video about Church on the North Coast School Supernatural Ministry. Do we have that queued up back there? Can we do that? Yeah, here we go. Let's watch this together.
In the 1700s, Moravian missionaries settled right here at the Black River, and there planted the first seeds of revival.
There's so many things that he wants to say to us, and we need to begin to open our ears, close our mouths, and listen.
We believe that inside of every person, there is the heart of a revival.
For 40 years, I've seen the hand of God move powerfully from one generation to another.
I'm not just a proponent of revival culture. I'm a product of it.
But something unique about today, it's not just necessarily the corporate gathering. It's the miraculous power of God showing up in a transformed life.
I mean, I could literally not hold a tune in a bucket, but in the presence of God, everything changed.
And in Psalm 71 in verse 18, the mandate of God simply says that we might demonstrate the power of God to a new generation.
Let's stop hiding in our comfortable pews. Let's stop hiding inside of our churches. Let's invade a place. Let's invade a place for the glory of God.
What we've got to do is stop talking about revival. We've got to start being revival.
We're after raising the dead. We're after really opening blind eyes.
I'm not just saying come because it's something else for you to do. I'm saying it's changed me. I know it'll change you.
What do you see for God? What do you see? Make it big. Make it so big that you can barely believe it, but make your heart long for it every day.
Don't think twice about it. Just jump in and go for it and see revival happen in your life, in your family's life, in your friends' lives.
At North Coast School of Supernatural Ministry, together we're going to take the keys of revival and we're going to unlock what God wants to do in our lives and in this region.
That's all we want to do is bring revival. Let's forget our names. Let's forget our church affiliations. Let's go pursue revival with reckless abandon.
Give us a call. Email us. Visit our website. We'll walk you through the application process. We want you to join this lifestyle of revival.
Right here is where you kick off your passion. Right here is where you find it. Right here at North Coast School of Supernatural Ministry. Start today.
Woo! Yeah! Shoot, I'm going to go. You know, some of you say, oh, if I was only back in my 20s, I'd go to a school like that. We have people in our school in their 70s. Some of them, two of them just got back from South Africa on a mission trip, transforming a nation. So don't look and say, well, if I was only in my 20s. You are at the right age right now. The school's starting. It's a good time to get involved. Checked it out there at the table. Hey, by the way, we had a great morning meeting this morning. We had a bunch of people healed this morning. We may pray for the sick again tonight. We had someone with heat, fire in the back healed. We had a number of people with knee problems, shoulder, rotator cuff problems healed instantly. Young guy who had knee problems, young guy, he must have been like 13, 14, something like that, healed of knee problems. It went on and on. There was people just being touched and a whole slew of people. The joy of the Lord was coming on them. Where depression had been at their door. I mean, it's a big Cleveland thing, you know, and there was like 25 of them probably, and the Lord was just moving upon them in a powerful way, so we had a good day. And then this afternoon, we met with some pastors from around the state of Ohio, and Pastor Louie and I are very excited because, you know, we know we're supposed to do something together. We've told people, actually, I've told people, he hasn't said this, but I've told people that we're dating right now. This is... You know, I know that can be misunderstood, but we're you know, when Louis said, let's do some stuff together, I said, you know what, we need to do something together for like 6 months to make sure we like each other, you know, just to be sure. I mean, it's not his problem. He likes everybody, but me, I just got to make sure I'm over my stuff. And we're now three months into our dating relationship, and it's been powerful. I mean, this conference is one part of that, us coming together. In fact, we had a little bit of a miracle here. You know, our worship leaders, and we said, you know, how are we going to do this conference and the different worship people and everything? We can't really merge them together. They don't know each other. It's different styles and things like that. And we have a new worship pastor in our church. Been with us about, she's been with us a long time, but as worship pastor for about 4 months. And so we connected them together, and it turns out Autumn, our worship leader, has been leading and involved with Leon for 5 years up in New York. We didn't even know about it. Worshiping together with Rob, I think it was Rob Stern's ministry up there. And so, wow, what just an odd coincidence that Leon's here at this church and Autumn's at our church and just at this dynamic time to come together. And Louie and I were sitting there talking about the band tonight, saying, you know, you wouldn't know that it was a mixture of people coming together. It's one spirit, one Christ, and it was very powerful tonight. Let's thank our worship bands and all of them for all that they did. Woo! Yeah. So we're hoping by the end of this, in the second half of this year, to actually pull together a coalition of leaders, spiritual leaders, pastors, and so forth from around the state to begin a fabric. We're not calling it a network. We really don't want to form a network. We want to build alliances. We want to build relationships. So when this epic revival hits in fullness, which we are fully confident this is going to happen, that structures will be in place that we might relate. We want to work with people we know, that I've been in the trenches with, the relationships have been built with. Louis and I have that relationship, but we want to spread that out to scores of other pastors and leaders around this state, and it's going to be a great thing. So if you're here from another church, tell your pastor, you know, check in with us, check on Facebook. We're going to be kicking off a Facebook page so we can stay informed from the front lines on what's going on throughout Ohio as this revival emerges, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we're going to see it in real time as it's emerging over these next few years as thousands of people come into the kingdom of heaven. You know, many people ask, what's it really look like when revival hits? You know what it means? Everything is easier. It's when God shows up in that power, you know, when you've been talking to your brother-in-law about Jesus for 30 years and I don't want to hear about it, you know, all of a sudden, tell me more about Jesus. And you're like, what caused that? It's the move of the Spirit that's coming. It's going to be so much fun to see people healed and delivered and released and saved. It's an awesome thing. Tonight, we're continuing, and from what happened last night, and Louis was just going to come up, and I go, no, you're not going to do that. No, I want to introduce you, you know. Louis and I go back 36 years now, and starting in the Lorain campus. We met for the first time back in 1978-ish, somewhere around there. I was only in the ministry for 4 months, and then it didn't work out, and I had to go back to school. But anyway, during that four-month period, I met Louis, and it was a powerful connection, and we have reconnected many times over the years. Here's one thing I can say about him personally. We traveled to Russia together in, I think it was 1990, right after the Soviet Union broke up. And it was a massive spiritual void there. And Louis and I together was with a team of 40 or 50 spiritual leaders that went over there. And we saw literally thousands of people come to the Lord. We'd go into public schools, they'd whistle down all of the students into the auditorium. We would share Christ, they would stand up, give their hearts to Christ, and then we would give them Bibles. It was unbelievable. And so we've had some very powerful times, a week of prayer called Quake on the Lake, the Russia experience. When I came back from Canada, 10 years in Canada, Lou was a part of really helping us financially get established in what we were doing. He's just been a great person. He and Tina both are just humble, broken, hungry people. I want to tell you, it is so rare nowadays to find that in this level of leadership. But what I also would say about him is when people ask me about the greater Cleveland area and they say, what is going on in greater Cleveland? He's one of the first people, he is the first person that comes to my mind. And I say, well, there's a guy named Louis Kayeton, and he is not satisfied to sit back. He's determined and passionate in his heart to go after God. And as a result, several campuses have emerged here. Thousands of people have been touched through the ministry. But I would believe that tens of thousands throughout this region have become spiritual sons and daughters out of these ministries over the years. And it's making an impact upon the city, the children of the city, the poor of the city, and those who are hungry after God. And I'd like you to give like a real apostolic Cleveland welcome to Lewis Canton. Let's welcome him up.
Appreciate that. Amen. Oh. Okay. All right. Thank you. Wow. Sit down. You guys are overdosed in worship, I think, yeah. See, you're so in a trance. I came on the stage and you thought it was Jesus. And you're like, woohoo, Jesus is up there. Oh, it's him. All right. Thank you, Steve and Cindy. Well, thank you. Love you back. And Steve and Cindy are great leaders. We just love them. Their team, Chet and Deb. I don't know where Deb's here somewhere. There she is. Hi, hon. They go way back as friends, probably the same amount of time, I'm trying to think. And you know when you were saying we kind of weaved in and out together? You know, when you said that this afternoon, I saw DNA. You ever see DNA and how it goes like that? And it's as though that the Lord has taken the last 30 years to create a DNA in the region that is going to be a birthing agent that's going to duplicate the same spirit all over the place. And I got cold chills when I said that. Hey, I've got to tell you what happened today. I don't know if you heard about it yet, but let's see, Joel. I met Joel. You are so anointed, Joel. I'm going to use you as a little illustration. Can I? Okay, I got your permission. But this guy showed up this afternoon for prayer, and Joel was ministering to him, and he was seeking help, and he said, I need you to pray for my hearing. He told Joel this. He said, I need you to pray for my hearing. So Joel puts his fingers in his ears, and he begins to pray and get that preacher look on him, you know, and begins to raise his voice and praise for him. And when he's done, he says, so tell me, how's your hearing? He goes, I don't know. He said, well, what do you mean you don't know? He said, I don't go to court until next Tuesday. That's all right, Joel. You keep working it. You keep working it, man. You know, it's all right. How do you spell faith? R-I-S-K, right? Sometimes you make it and sometimes you don't make it. But oh, man. We are absolutely delighted to be here tonight. And with all of you that came, wow, this is incredible. And we're very grateful for this opportunity. We look forward to the future in what God has for us, and it's going to be an exciting, exciting time. I want you to get a Bible, if you have one. If you don't, get your smartphone, and if not, just look at the screens. But we're going to go to Matthew chapter 17, and I want to share with you a passion of mine that I feel that we are in right now. So this is kind of a prophetic interpretation through Scripture of where I see and define the moments that we're in. And the Bible says in verse 1, reading out of the New King James Version, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. It's interesting how the Scripture identifies they were by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. You know, sometimes people see Jesus in all sorts of things. I brought one of the displays. This is a tortilla. And if you look hard enough, you will see the face of Jesus in that tortilla. Does anybody, do you see Jesus? Or it's upside down. How about now? Do you see Jesus in the tortilla? Now you may laugh at that and chuckle about that, but this actually happened. Let me share with you the actual story about a housewife in New Mexico. She was frying tortillas, and one of them burned, and it just so happened that the form actually took the shape of a face. Well, she was convinced that it was the face of Jesus. So she took it to her priest and she asked him, she said, "Do you think this looks like Jesus?" And he looked at it and he said, "Well, yeah, kind of. It looks like Jesus." So he blessed it. And he had never blessed a tortilla before, but he blessed that tortilla because Jesus was in the tortilla. Well, she took it home and put it in a little box, put some cotton around it to make it look as though Jesus was floating on a cloud. And literally, this is a true story, her husband and her began to pray before it. And soon the news began to spread. And literally thousands of people came from everywhere to see the image that was on this tortilla. Now, I want you to think about that with me for a minute, because if that's not enough, it happened several years ago in Poland. They discovered a tree that had a strange shape in the bark, and the person who discovered it was a crippled man. When he looked at that image, he determined that it was the Virgin Mary. So he proclaimed it to be the Virgin Mary and told his priest that the Virgin Mary has appeared and that she wants to heal. Well, people were coming that were sick. People were infirmed. Before you know it, people were spending life savings to come and worship at this tree. When suddenly, just on the other side of the forest, another person proclaimed that the Virgin Mary and Jesus were now on the side of that tree. Literally, people, thousands and thousands, flocked to those places to be healed of the Lord or to have a spiritual encounter. But how many know that Jesus isn't in your tortillas? Neither is he in our church traditions. Neither is he in some of the methodology and the practice that we feel as though that we have to initiate and act out in order to manifest an image from a frying pan to somehow manifest the presence of the Lord and create our own manifestation because we haven't known how to entertain him. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is a shift tonight. And if you haven't caught on to it, you will, because it's overtaking the body of Christ. And there is indeed tonight a revealing of who Jesus is. Now, if you go back to the text in verse 1, if you can put verse 1 back up, this is an important truth. The Bible says after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. 6 is an important number in the Bible. Many of you are scholars. I'm not. I always tell people I'm not a theologian. I'm just a pastor. But I do know this, that the number of 6 is the number of man. And notice that after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain to have an encounter that would literally change their life forever. But you have to get beyond yourself. After you've come to an end of yourself, you're ready for this kind of an encounter. I preached not long ago about the 4 lepers and how the 4 lepers were so desperate for God that they rushed into the enemy's camp. The word of the Lord had come from the prophet and said, in 24 hours, everything will turn around. Do you remember how difficult the times were? Do you remember that people were eating donkeys and heads and children and dove dung, and it was an amazing time of scarcity and lack. And there was one individual who said, if the heavens were to open up, I don't believe this thing is going to turn around. And the prophet declared to him and said, you know what? It's going to turn around. Everybody else is going to partake of it. But because of your skepticism, you are going to be trampled under the feet of men. Now, I don't want you to misinterpret the fact that I'm preaching judgment, because I'm not. I'm not necessarily saying those that don't embrace the move of God at this present time are going to be trampled under the feet of men. That's not what I'm inferring. But what I am saying is that it's time for you and me to take our skepticism and let it be trampled under the foot of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In other words, quit being so skeptic of the move of God in the earth tonight and make a decision to get all in for God. All in with God. Amen. Put away your tortillas and your tree bark. And let's start looking for Jesus as he wants to appear to us in all of his glory. Now, I want to remind you back in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. This is out of the Voice translation. Now, do you remember David, the first time that he was tempted to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, into Jerusalem? He was unsuccessful. We know what happened to his good friend. He was struck down. And David was angry with God. He was frightened with God. But in this account, something unique took place. It reads this way. When the people carrying the chest of the Eternal had gone six steps. Notice the number. They'd gone six steps. David sacrificed an ox and a fattened calf. Now before we go to the next verse, it is important to understand that when you're dealing with the presence of God, you're going to have to come to a place where you're willing to sacrifice all. You're going to have to be willing to say, I've gone as far as I can go in the natural. And I know that now I have to take the seventh, that divine step into the eternal blessing of God, the power of God. And when he got to the sixth step, before he took the seventh step, he offered a sacrifice unto God with a fatted calf and an oxen. Look at the next verse in verse 14. Again, reading out of the Voice translation. And he danced before the Eternal One with all his might and clad in a priestly vest. When he entered in to the seventh step, when he entered in to the divine presence of God and had gotten out of himself, walked out of his tradition, walked out of his natural, and began to rely upon the leading of the Holy Spirit, suddenly such joy filled his life that he began to dance, twirl around, uninhibited, unadulterated, made a show and a spectacle of himself, like some of you all were doing here tonight. I saw you. And the Bible tells us that with all his might, he was clad in a priestly vest. I believe that God wants to clothe us with a priestly vest, but it comes on the other side of 100% sacrifice to God, to give him everything that we are, everything that we have, to say, God, you know what? I'm not looking for you in anything else. I just want to look into your face. I just want to see you for who you really are. And I don't know about you, but some of you Bethel people, you may not understand it, but every once in a while, I've got to take a little praise break. So I'm going to take about a 26-second lift up my hand and thank you, Jesus, that I'm about to go into a new realm with God. Come on, take up a 20-second praise break and say, God, I'm about to go into a new realm with you. I'm about to take a seventh step with you. I'm about to put on my priestly garments, God, and I'm about to, Father, give you everything that I am. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, I'm prone to those commercial breaks every once in a while. But if you back up into 2 Samuel on the same account, the first attempt, chapter 6, verses 8 to 9, we read that David, because he was unable to come to an end of himself, because he was unable to take that seventh step, that step beyond his natural, to become supernaturally natural, he had to stay in the place where everything was in control and that he understood the movings of God and he was able to regulate it according to his own design and his own desire. Notice what happened. David was angry that the Eternal One had broken through to strike Uzzah. So the place was named Perez Uzzah, meaning breach against Uzzah, to remember that act. Verse 9, please. Do you have it? David was also frightened of the Eternal that day. See, I believe there's this shifting in the body of Christ where there are those that have taken that seventh step that have such eternal joy and such reckless abandon in worship and such belief and faith in God, they actually believe that God can do anything. I think I'm around some of those people tonight that believe that God can do anything. Amen.
But then there's another group of people who haven't been willing to take that seventh step. And as a result, they go to church angry. They go to church angry at others and angry at God for him not moving and for him not doing what he said he was going to do. They become frightened over a little move of God. They don't understand it because it's beyond their ability to control. It's about beyond their ability to define. It doesn't fit into their dogma. It doesn't fit into their church rules. It doesn't fit into their Christianity. And so suddenly now they're frightened and they're angry and they're living in a presence of God outside of fellowship with God. But hallelujah, there are those who have come to take a seventh step and to walk in the divine will of God and to say, Father, I'm ready for the eternal one, Father, to bless me. You see, there is a great season that we are in. Now, we want that in our lives and we search for it. But when it's not there, somehow we try to create it. We've got to stop trying to create it when it's not there. Quit looking for tortillas and bark. Let's start looking at our sacrificial lifestyle. Let's start looking at our abandoned worship. Let's start looking at our faith and belief in what God has said and what he is doing. You see, we're always looking for systems, but there's a place that God has prepared for you. There is a mountain. Come on, look over at somebody and tap them and say, there's a mountain. God has prepared where you can behold him and you can leave all the tortillas and the trees behind and you can see Jesus in his fullness and in his glory. And that's where I want to go. You know, in order to get there, you've got to get your true identity of who he is. And in Matthew 16, one chapter earlier, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they came up with all kinds of solutions and ideas and thoughts. And finally, he looked over at him. He said, but yeah, but who do you say? And Peter stepped up. Peter took a step into the seventh dimension, that seventh realm. And he said, you know, it's out of me. And I don't really understand it, but all I got to tell you is what God's telling me right now. Thou art the Christ. Now, see, you're going to make me preach. I'm trying not to preach tonight. I'm trying to make a good impression on all of our guests, but I might just have to preach. I don't know. I'll try not to, but Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, oh, Peter, you just stepped the seventh time. You just got out of yourself and into the divine revelation because flesh and blood, come on, help me with it. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has shown you who I am. From that point, Peter was never the same. James was never the same. John was never the same. And so now, after that lengthy introduction, I come back to my text. Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2. Matthew 17, verses 1 and 2. It's okay, I'll step around it, but that's cool. You don't want me to get hurt. All right. Here in Matthew 17, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain. He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. You know, later John testified of this. He writes in John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Come on, everybody read it with me. Come on. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the Father. Read that last part. Full of what? One more time. Full of what? Notice John wrote, we beheld his glory. Not only that, but we beheld him as being full of grace and full of truth. See, this is all that we're going to do in this region is predicated upon seeing him in his fullness. You and I have to have a God encounter that literally overwhelms and overtakes our life and brings us out of the sixth step and take a risk into the seventh step and believe that God is about to show up, show out, and show off in Northeastern Ohio. Amen. I believe he's about to do it. Now, this is interesting, and I'm not a theologian, but I read books and I search on the internet. Jesus took him to Mount Hermon. And if you've ever been to northern Israel, it's just an incredible place, and it's about 9,700 feet elevation. Sometimes you could see snow on that mount. Actually, Psalm 133 makes reference to it about the unity of the brethren, and there God commands the blessing. It's like the dew on the Mount Hermon. There's at least three tributaries, maybe even four rivers, one coming across Lebanon and joining together, that forms the Jordan River, which actually gives life to Israel and flows into the Dead Sea. This is where Jesus takes them, to Mount Hermon. He said, we're going to go to the mountain. I want you to come with me. Nobody else is permitted to come. And I want to reveal to you who I am. I want you to see me for who I really am. And in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 17, the Bible says he was transfigured. Say that word.
Transfigured.
Say it one more time.
Transfigured.
We use the word transformed and transfigured interchangeably. As a matter of fact, Paul the Apostle uses the same Greek word, metamorpho. He uses the same compound Greek word here in Matthew in 17 and verse 2, as well as in Romans chapter 12 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, we'll get to that in just a moment, but it tells us that he was transfigured. In other words, to change his outward form or his appearance, he was made glorious. His fullness of grace and truth was revealed to them, and it's a metamorpho, which is a word compound, meta meaning change after being with, and morpho meaning changing form in keeping with the inner reality. In other words, I'm going to keep in form with my inner reality, but I'm going to let you see a part of who I really am. And his clothes began to shine like lightning. And it was an amazing experience. They were literally changed after being with this change that Jesus had revealed. He pulled the skin back just far enough for them to behold the Godhead in bodily form. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm inviting you to go see. That's what I'm asking here in Northeastern Ohio for us to demonstrate, that we're going to be released in apostolic power, but I don't believe apostolic power is manifested in its true form until those who are followers of Christ have seen the flesh pulled back and we have had an impartation from heaven that says, thou is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we've seen him in his fullness and in his grace and in his power. Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, and he tells us to not be conformed to this world, but to be be transformed, as Jesus was transformed. So in other words, my mind will become like God mind. I have a God thinker. I perceive the way God perceives. I see the way God sees. I can feel the way God feels. Some years ago, I was in the Mabee Center in Oral Roberts University. I was with Dr. Lester Summerall, a great apostle of the faith, traveled the world preaching the gospel, doing amazing miracles. He was a protege of a rough-shod plumber from England. You might have heard of him, Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith would ask young Lester to come over and to pray together, to talk together. And one day Lester knocked on the door, and Smith opened the door and he said, hello? And he said, can I come in? He said, you can come in. He said, but leave those lies outside the door. You see, Lester had the daily newspaper under his arm. And Smith said, you can come in, but those lies must never cross the threshold of my door. So he had to throw the newspaper in the bushes. They walked into the parlor. Smith sat down. Lester sat down. Nobody spoke. Finally, Smith said, let's pray. They got on their knees and prayed for about an hour time. When they were done praying, Smith said, amen. Lester stood up, thinking now they'd have small conversation. And Smith took him to the door and ushered him out and said, and by the way, pick up your lies on your way out. I don't want them in my yard. And that was the conversation. He learned how to operate in an anointing, in the fullness of the presence of God. To one day, as I sat with him behind the curtain, he suddenly looked over at me and said, do you feel that? And I said, feel what, Dr. Sumrall? He said, the healing anointing just moved in to this maybe center. I said, well, there's 10,000 people sitting out there. There's all these celebrity preachers all along the front row. What are you talking about? He said, I know that anointing. That's Dr. Oral Roberts. He just walked in. I'm sorry, Dr. Sumrall. He's not scheduled to be in this meeting today. He's not a speaker and he won't be able to attend. He's not even in Tulsa. He said, the healing anointing is here. As he said that, round the curtain came Dr. Oral Roberts. He walked over and he said, hello, Lester, how you doing? I thought, my goodness, I want to learn how to recognize when the anointing that God demonstrates in a generation shows up. I want to be so familiar with the fact that I've seen the transformation, I've seen the fullness of God, that I'm able to recognize it not only in church, but I can recognize it as I'm standing in the checkout lane of Target, and suddenly the Holy Spirit speaks to me about a woman's need or a man's need in front of me, and I say, excuse me, you don't know me, but God just spoke to me, and He told me that you have this, this, and this, and I'm about ready to pray for you because I feel a Holy Ghost unction right up here in Target. And you release the glory of God. All right, that's a good place to take a 10-second praise break. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. Woo! Come on, come on, come on. Woo! Come on, come on. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Well, this metamorphos word is a powerful word because Paul also uses it in 2 Corinthians 3:18. Watch this. It says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed in a similar image from glory to glory. Did I misread that?
Yes.
I did. I misread it. It's the same image. From glory to glory. Now, don't get nervous. You say, is he preaching that we're going to become like Jesus? Yes. So now you're really nervous. But how many know that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, ascended into the heaven, dispatched the Holy Spirit, and it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that's going to dwell in us? How many know that the Bible said to have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? How many know the day that God has wanted to anoint the body of Christ the same way He anointed Jesus while He was on the earth? How many believe that there might just be a scripture in the Bible that says, greater works shall you do than I have done because I go to the Father. Not necessarily in magnitude, but in scope. And we're going to begin to see, just like today, an ear opened up as well this morning. And we saw knees healed. We saw depression defeated. But we're only getting started. You better get ready and put your spiritual seatbelts on because miracles are going to overtake preachers. Miracles are going to overtake worship leaders. Miracles are going to overtake churches across America. So this transfiguration of Christ makes plain to the disciples who He is. Now, you can imagine standing there, and Jesus is like lightning. They're seeing the fullness of grace and truth. They're dumbfounded. They're like, whoa, this is amazing. They see his true identity. And the usage that Paul uses in the verbiage here is to formulate the identity and the destiny of each believer. It's the glory of God that's being shared. It's like the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Oh my gosh, don't make it a historical document. Quit reveling in Elder Seymour. Bless his holy heart. He's in heaven with Jesus. But you know what? Azusa Street was then. This is now. Don't make some doctrinal dogma out of it and put it in your upper room and talk about how we believe that the first initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues, and suddenly now you argue and debate, and the fact is nobody speaks in tongues anymore. You just argue about whether or not you believe it. But if you read the account, church, it literally means cloven tongues of fire sat down upon each of them. And if you interpret it in the understanding, it's like God said, I'm going to take a piece of me. I'm fire. I'm going to take a piece of me and I'm going to splinter me off and I'm going to throw the dart at you. Here, take me. 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 And I'm saying, God, hit me again. So we read in John 17:5, and now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. And in verse 22, Jesus says this, and the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one just as we're one. Paul wrote to the church at Rome, Romans 8, verse 17, he said, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Look, I'm not looking for average Christianity. I'm not looking for church as usual or normal. I'm not looking for friends who are satisfied with where they've been. I'm looking for a people who are hungry for the glory of God to be manifest in their lives. Amen? Woo! Amen. So here it is, the glory of God's manifest. Peter, James, and John are like, what? Shut up. Whoa. I mean, they're like blown away. And all of a sudden, two guys show up. I don't know where they came from, how they got there, but they're just strolling along with Jesus. One was Moses, and the other one was Elijah. Peter, James, and John are looking at that and going, shoot, man, look at that. There's Jesus. Oh my gosh, there's Moses. Woo, there's Elijah. And Peter speaks up. And Peter said, Lord, this is great that we're here. Let me go find a tortilla. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get some tree bark. It's going to be incredible. People are going to come from everywhere, from all over Palestine. They're going to come to see these booths that we're going to build in tribute. And we'll say, that's right, I was there. So Moses showed up, Elijah showed up, and Jesus was glorified. He was amazing. If you come in here and you spend some time here, you could be healed. You could be set free. You could experience the glory of God. While he's talking, this voice, this cloud, blows in, and a voice comes out and says, really? He said, really? Listen to this. Moses showed up for a reason. This is important for us to get. Moses showed up for a reason because he represented the testament that bore his name, the old covenant. He came into the release of the fullness of God. And there's a little bit of a struggle in the body of Christ right now with grace and law and mixture, all those things, you know. We got to get this right. But that's not the message tonight. But Moses shows up, and he represents the Old Testament. Elijah shows up. He represents the Old Testament prophets. So now we have the law and the prophets standing alongside of Jesus. Now, if I was a Peter, James, or John, I'd be like, okay, there's the law. I've been raised in the law. Wow, there's the prophets. I've received powerful words, forecasting and foretelling, and God's revealing what he's about to do. This is awesome. And there's Jesus. I just saw him glorified. This is an incredible day. The voice comes in and stops the madness and said, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. And he said, listen to him. Now, that's an interesting Greek word. It actually isn't say listen. It's shema, and it means obey him. So all of a sudden, the Father reveals in the middle of the law and the prophets and Jesus establishing his glory on the earth. And he said, listen to him, not them, because he didn't come to abolish them. He came to fulfill them. So he came to fulfill all the law, and all the prophets are in Jesus. And so the Father was revealing that you think you had power when Moses was on the earth? You think you had glory when Jeremiah and Daniel began to prophesy and Ezekiel talked about the wheel within the wheel? I'm telling you right now, you've got Jesus, the Son of God, who has fulfilled all the law and all of the prophets. Listen to him. I love that scripture because it brings us back to the priority that we need to live in. Colossians 1:19 says, it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. Matthew 5:17, do not think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy them. I came to fulfill them. Ephesians 2:14-15. For he is our peace, who made both one and broke down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. This whole transfiguration demonstrated to the apostles two things that are essential for you and me to receive. Number one, the glory or the manifest presence of the fullness of God. And the other is his majesty. Please don't ever forget that. Jesus revealed to them on the Mount of Transfiguration the fullness of grace and truth. And he revealed to them his majesty. They beheld his glory and they felt his majesty. I want to say that again. They beheld his glory and they felt his majesty. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Majesty is something that imposes itself upon you. When you behold his majesty, you can never be the same. You must bow in submission. You must acknowledge his authority. You must submit to his edicts because he is the majestic one. They came away from that encounter with such authority in their life and with such identity. They realized a simple statement that I want you to hear tonight. Christ is central in Christianity. And I know that sounds so simple, but Christ is the center of Christianity. The church is of no significance. Please hear this. The church is of no significance except as it relates to Christ. I'm going to say it again. The church is of no significance apart from and unless it relates to Christ. It is Christ and him alone, the hope of glory. It is our Redeemer. Pastor Steve declared it at the beginning at this meeting or at the end of the worship time about our redemption, how truth came and set us free. Christ is central. Let me tell you something. Baptism is meaningless without the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It is only an ordinance. It is only an act. It is only a tradition. It is only some identification with some church creed. It is only a fulfillment to make some bishop happy or some pastor have another score on his tally sheet for the end of the year. But that Christ be in that watery grave and understanding come, it is nothing more than religious exercise. Even our worship. Our worship can be amazing, and it has been. I mean, Wednesday night at Bethel, I was like, God, you might as well just kill me now and take me to heaven. It was amazing. But I was looking for the Christ, and I found him. I was looking for the Christ in my twirl. I was looking for the Christ in your shout. I was looking for the Christ in your tears. I was looking for the Christ in the laying on of hands and the decreeing and the declaring and the confessions of our faith. I was looking for the Christ who motivates us to go into the Slavic village and up and down streets and knocks on doors. It's the Christ. It's not because I want favor from the leader or I want some recognition by some agency that says, well done, we want to give you a pin. No, I want to glorify Christ. You may not know my name. You may not give me some accolade. You may not pat me on the back. The pastor may never shake my hand and may never acknowledge the fact that I was the one that did that, Pastor. But friend, it's a transition time where we're going up the mountain and it's forming a river. This is the beauty about it. See, there's all kinds of streams, even North Coast. I mean, we're a little trickle. We're a tributary. You Bethelites, you're like a raging river. So we're being poured in, but we're merging. There's a confluence, right? There's a coming together. And what it's causing the banks to swell, it's causing this thing to run out of control. And only by God can he direct it. And it's an amazing thing. It's not his getting credit or my getting credit or your church did this or my church did that. And after all, if we're going to do this, I just want to know, I better have as much time on the platform as you do. And I want to make sure my worship team sings as many songs. And I was counting this whole conference, and you guys had more people singing than we did. And I just don't know that I'll ever do this again, because you just can't offend my worship leaders like that. Really? Really? Come on, look over at somebody and say, really?
Really?
What about the Lord's Supper? It would be merely unleavened bread and grape juice. It's like, okay, we all get in the line now. And I get my bread and I get my drink. Or I stick out my tongue. You know, whatever. That was an anointed laugh. I love that kind of laugh. Ah, I love that. I used to work in a little church in the South, and the first day we showed up, there were four members. My wife and I, we had three children. No. There were four members, counting the pastor. We showed up with our five, and we doubled the attendance. The pastor was excited. He was like, ooh, glory. But there was a woman in there that used to do a hallelujah roll. You know, like that laugh, that is a cool laugh. I don't even think I could mimic that. I don't know, did I come close? But she used to sit there, when she got blessed, she'd say, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. She'd keep going up, 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 up. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I said, man, Jesus must be here, because I just heard the hallelujah roll. All right, let me put this to a close. So they're on this mountain, have this great experience. I got to come down the mountain. So this whole account ends with a spectacular story. Because on the foothill of the mountain, something's happening. If you know the story, something's happening in the foothill of the mountain. On the mountain top, Jesus is being revealed in fullness and glory. Jesus, oh, here's another one for you. Moses died. Elijah ascended into heaven. Jesus is standing there, not only fulfilling the law and the prophets, but is the Lord of the living and the dead. It's an amazing truth. That's why when you've got Jesus, you got everything you need. When you see Him in His glory, it will change the way you do life, the way you pray, the way you worship, the way you come to the house of God, the way you do your ministry. It will literally change and alter the way you think. So down on the foothills of this mountain, there's this boy who's demon possessed. He's actually affected by the moon. They call him a lunatic. He throws himself in the fire and he throws himself in water. And there's some good truth there. We don't have time for that. But the disciples, the nine, are going through all the tortilla and the tree bark methodology of ministry, trying to get this demon out of this boy. Peter, James, and John come down the mountain with Jesus. Those nine are standing there. The father comes up and said, "Master, would you please pray for my son? Your disciples prayed, but didn't help him." Now here's where I believe apostolic authority is released. Jesus said, "This kind comes not but by much prayer and fasting." Some of the manuscripts don't have that in the original. But what he called on them, and he said this, "O ye of little faith." Now, a lot of us would interpret that and say their little faith was in the fact that Jesus heals. I'm going to interpret it a little differently. I believe their little faith was in who he was. They hadn't had the fullness of the experience of his transformation before them. And as a result, their faith waned. And when they came up against the hard cases, they were unable to initiate and release miraculous. Jesus came over and did the job. I believe Peter, James, and John as well. My friends, if you and I want to walk in apostolic authority, that when you name the name of Jesus, devils, when you get up in the morning, the devil starts getting nervous. "Oh my God, he's awake. What are we? Oh my gosh, did you hear what they're doing over there in northeastern Ohio? What are we going to do?" They can do absolutely nothing. Because I've been to the mountain, honey, and I've seen him in his fullness and in all of his glory and all of his grace. And I know that my God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Come on, say it with me, above all that I could ever think or ask. And that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I think we ought to go out on a Friday night and just look for some devils to mess with. So verse 20 said, "Because of your unbelief." And then Jesus said this, "If you just had faith as a mustard seed." I've always wrestled with that. I said, "God, I must not even have like a grain of sand." Remember the first time I confronted a demon-possessed woman. It was in Russia. I don't know if you were with me that time. I wish you would have been. You could have helped. It was a young girl and tormented. She was seeing a witch who was giving her this brew literally to drink and to try to calm her. And actually what it was doing was possessing her more firmly and deeply. And here I was, the evangelist in town. I'm like, "I'm here to preach the gospel. You must come and pray for my daughter." I'm like, "What's wrong?" "She is demon possessed." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus can handle that. No problem." Well, that was before the service. During the prayer line in the service, she came up for prayer. I mean, she was a beautiful girl, 23, 24 years old. Beautiful little face, round Russian face. Stood up there. I said, "Honey, would you like for me to pray for you?" "Yes." "Is this your daughter that needed?" "Yes." I said, "Okay, come here." And I went to lay hands on her and she went, "Don't talk to me." I went, "Stop it. That's not real." Before I knew it, she was on the ground. She was writhing. She was foaming at the mouth. She was like a little snake going around. I'm like, Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. What do I do now? So where's a tortilla when you need one, you know? You know who was with me? Butch Hardy. Richard Hardy was with me. I said, Richard, we need to do something with this. He said, let's pray. I said, I'm praying. So she went home. She was still demon-possessed. So the interpreter called us and said, the mother wants you to come to the house and finish the job. I'm thinking, I am not going to that house. I am not that brave. I said, no, in Jesus' name, that's why I came, I'm going. So we went into this little Russian high-rise apartments. I mean, just dark and small and dingy. And three of us are in the elevator. It's barely moving. It smelled like urine. It was dark. There was no lights. And get up to the top floor, and it shakes. And you come out of the elevator, and you walk down this long hallway and knock on the door. And you open it, and there's an old grandma there. And I'm thinking, she's the witch. She's the witch. No, she was just grandma. And she let me in, you know. And I said, where can I pray? And she said, she's in the bedroom. And I'm like, this could be a scene out of Hollywood. Here I am coming in. Only thing I'm missing is my collar. I opened the door, and it was like freezing cold in there. No, I'm just kidding. So I opened the door. No kidding. I opened the door, and all over the walls were satanic symbols, rock star images of all kinds of decadence and all this ugly stuff. And I went, this all must come down. I mean, I got this boldness on me. I'm like, we're going to take all this down now. Come in here. Rip all this down in Jesus' name. And I got my oil out, and I didn't even dab. I just started spreading. I'm like, I said, I got some holy boldness now. We defeated that thing. It was a tie to her life. We prayed for her. We commanded that devil to go. It started talking to us. I'm not leaving. I said, oh, yes, you are. Because I got to go tomorrow. My plane leaves. And you got to go now. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden that girl came back to herself. Her eyes came down from the back of her head. She looked at me. She said, thank you for praying. Mama, she talked to her mother. And from that moment on, I don't know how long after I kept in contact, but she was absolutely normal because the name of Jesus is greater than any demonic stronghold that you and I will ever encounter. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 43. I'm going to close with this. That's my first closing, and Pastor Steve had three last night, so. The same account of the transfiguration. The same account of the young man being brought back to his mind. Demons being defeated. Whew, thank you, Lord, for this. This is powerful truth. All these people around, they knew that this boy had been tormented for years, thrown in the fire, thrown in the water, screaming. Can you only imagine the helplessness you must feel when your son or daughter, mommy, 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 help! And there's nothing you can do. And you know it's demonic power. And suddenly now this young boy is delivered, set free by the power of Jesus. Here's what the scripture said in verse 43. I hope you have it. Luke 9, 43. Because I want you to read it with me. Ready? Read. And they were all amazed at the majesty of Jesus. But while everyone marveled at all the things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples. I'm going to stop there. Notice what it said. They were all amazed at the majesty, majesty. How's it go? Forever I am. Yeah, I'm not one of those worship leaders, but you know what I mean. They marveled and were amazed at his majesty, not at his glory. The people in Northeast Ohio will become amazed at His majesty, His royal scepter. Woohoo! His edict, be healed. His declaration, your kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. His majesty. And it was all on the heels of an encounter with the fullness of Jesus. Church, I'm going to invite you into a fullness encounter with who He is. No tortilla Jesuses in this place. Only the pure Son of God. Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you right now. Even as Peter had that encounter, where flesh and blood did not reveal who you were to him, but the Father which was in heaven. May we have a heavenly vision of Jesus. May we have a heavenly vision of His majesty. Oh God, give it to us. We know that's the turning point. That's the agency that will literally change and transform a generation. It's what transformed the apostles. It's what transformed the Romans. It's what transformed the Corinthians. And it's what's going to transform you and me. Everybody, would you please stand to your feet? Lift up your hands to Jesus and come on, worship Jesus.
Forever I am changed by your love.
The room, just admit it, right? We're going to pray for you in just a minute, but just raise your hand up around the room. If you could, you say, I'm in that position right now. In fact, come on out and stand across the front here if you can. We're going to pray for you for a few minutes, and then we're going to minister to some other folks. But those that are feeling dry, those that are feeling you're in the, you got the tortilla Jesus, you know, you want the real Jesus. You want an encounter that's going to be transfiguring, transforming. You want to behold the beauty of the Lord. And it just hasn't been there for a while. Just come up here and stand across the front. If we get some of our ministry team people up here like Joel and others and Adam, just come up here and just begin to go around. And you know, this is not dependent upon us. It's dependent on the presence of God. And He's here right now. All you need to do is go around and just lay a gentle hand and just say, more, Lord. Let your power come, Lord. If you could come up and begin to move some of our team members. We need all of you. All prophetic, healing, sozo, freedom. Team members. Champions, just come on up. Even while you're standing there waiting for someone to pray for you, just begin to extend your faith right now. Hungry in your heart saying, Jesus, I want a touch from you tonight, Lord God. I want to behold you in your power and your might. I want the reality of Jesus Christ sinking deeper within my spirit. Just begin to cry out to Him. And before too long, someone's going to come by and lay hands on you. And when they do, you receive the power of God right now.
Show me your glory.
Spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, cause I just want to know you. Let your Spirit overwhelm me. Let your presence overtake my heart. Oh, cause I just want to know you.
Pray for a few people while we're continuing. We're going to continue to pray for folks up here. By the way, there's something I learned a long time ago. Don't be quick to get up off of God's operating table. If you're up here soaking and you're desperate for God, don't come a few minutes and go, I don't know, I didn't really feel anything. I gotta go sit down. Stay. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves in waves and you could miss a wave. I mean, He comes and he flows and he might hit the person next to you and it's going to come over on you. Don't be in a hurry. Just if you do nothing else, just stand there in his presence. Let the Lord begin to minister to you. And so while you're up here and you're just kind of soaking in the presence of God, people are coming by and praying for you. We want to pray for some that are suffering in their physical bodies out here right now. As we were praying just a minute ago, the Lord brought to my attention a couple things. There's some folks here with eye problems, particularly like running of the eye, sty in the eye. There's like, feels like sands in your eye or something like that. And it's a reoccurring problem, may even be a problem right now. If that's you right now, just kind of raise your hand around the room. Anyone have that problem? I see someone in the back over there. Anyone else? Back here, back over there. Right over here, I see someone over here. Those with their hands raised, just keep them raised just for a second. Some of those that are nearby, just lay a gentle hand on their shoulder right now. If you see a hand raised, like over here, back there, just lay a gentle hand on them. And just begin to pray. Don't pray elaborate prayers. If nothing else, just begin to confess the name of Jesus. Just speak the name of Jesus over them. We're going to pray corporately for them in just a minute. There's also somebody who's having chronic throat problems. It's like a sore throat or something like that. It may be allergies, it may not, but there's something that's reoccurring with your throat. Those of you who have that, raise your hand around the room. We want to pray for you right now. Keep them raised. Quite a few people, look around and see those that are nearby. And again, those to the right or the left that are born-again believers, if you're a born-again believer, you have permission to lay a gentle hand upon the shoulder of this person. And we're going to pray together in just a minute. Right now, all you have to do is just confess the name of Jesus over them right now, in the name of the Lord. Also is getting, where's Michael Hoff at? Is he here? Michael in here? Come on up here, Michael. Get some words of knowledge here. Also, somebody with a lower back problem, and it could be sciatica or something like that, but it's, again, a reoccurring problem. I feel like the the holy chiropractor is here tonight. He's going to adjust some things in people's lower back and in their hip area, pelvis. If that's you, wave at me right now. If that's you across the room, look at that. That's a lot of people. Keep waving your hand. And someone nearby, lay a gentle hand. We got a hot spot right here in the middle of people that are affected by that. Lay a gentle hand. And over here on this side, somebody nearby, just lay a gentle hand on them. Just speak the name of Jesus. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And then we're going to exercise a little bit. We're going to see. Clear your throat. Whatever it is that has been bothering you, your lower back, you might want to bend. And this is the reason. I explained this this morning. Sometimes the healing comes in the activation of faith to see if the pain is still there. You know, you start moving around a little bit. You clear your throat. Whatever it is that is bothering you. So let me pray that simple prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to activate that, and let's just see healing come across this room, all right? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we approach you right now. Lord, you love these people. You are their healer. You are their balm of Gilead. I speak right now over these situations. Let the presence of Jesus, let heaven come down upon them right now, from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. All through those parts of their body, be it their back, be it their throat, whatever it is, Lord, that you're touching right now, we speak. Even that eye situation, we speak to it right now, that it would cease and desist in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if it was your eye and it was bothering you when you came in, just open and close your eyes a few times. Your throat, clear your throat. Just say, in Jesus' name, I receive healing. If it was your back, begin to move a little bit. Those of you with a back problem, just gently, gently begin to move. All right, check it out. See where it is. Gently move. All right. Now. How many here that were prayed for? Those who are prayed for those three or four different things right there. How many of you feel an improvement in your body from where it was before? Just wave at me right now. There's an improvement. Look at that, all around the room. Improvement. Anyone here feel pain or difficulty in an eye, throat, whatever? It totally left in the past few minutes. Anyone feel it totally leave? Raise your hand and wave it at me right now. Anyone? Anyone feel? Okay, one back here. Anyone else? Okay, so we saw one over here. We saw improvement take place in people's hearts. So let's just pray one more time. Lay your hand back on that person you were praying for a minute ago. Whether it was the back, the eye, what was the other thing? The throat. Back, eye, and throat, okay? Just lay hands on them again. We say in the name of Jesus right now, through the blood, shed blood of Jesus Christ, healing. Healing come into this body right now in Jesus' name. From the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. Okay. Now, exercise again. Either move your back, clear your throat, open and close your eyes a few times. Just go ahead and do that right now. Don't feel like you're under pressure or stress. This is not about what you're thinking. It's about a faith element that is here in this room right now and believing that Jesus is touching you. Okay, now, how many of you feel better than when we first prayed? There was even more improvement. Wave your hand at me right now. Wave your hand up. Look at that. That's about 20, 30 people around the room. Let's just thank the Lord for that right now. Just thank the Lord. If it's your back, you're thankful. If it's your eyes, you're thankful. So we bless that, Lord. I pray for continued healing throughout the night in these physical bodies in the name of Jesus. Okay, Michael, what do you have here?
For anyone, I just feel like the Lord highlighting a number of things on the left side of my body. If you have arthritis in your hands or carpal tunnel in your left wrist, if that's you, just go ahead and raise your hand. Anybody with arthritis in the left hand? All right, yeah, I see the hand in there in the back. Knee pain, left knee pain. Anyone with left knee pain? I feel like the Lord wants to heal that tonight. Yeah, All right. Thank you, Lord. And then also, was there anyone here who broke their thumb playing sports, their right thumb playing sports? All right. Yeah. All right. Still pain. Anybody that broke a thumb playing sports that still has pain as a result of it? You still have pain? All right. Yeah. Just want to pray for you real quick. Yeah. So if that was any of you, if any of that describes you've got pain, really, let's just go for the left side of the body. God's not a discriminator. But let's, if you've got arthritis, carpal tunnel, knee pain, we just want to cry out for the Lord to heal you. And if you injured yourself playing sports, if you broke a thumb playing sports, yeah, you've got a knee pain? Knee pain? All right, yeah. Jesus, we just invite you to come now as healer. We thank you that you paid the price in your own body on the cross for our healing and wholeness. We invite you in, Lord. We declare that you are good. We release your healing power. Come, Lord. Lord, as someone who's been healed of knee pain myself, Lord, I declare the testimony that you are good and that you can heal. We release the healing power of Jesus right now. Come, Lord, as healer of arthritis, of carpal tunnel syndrome. God, we just ask that the pain would go, cysts would go, movement would increase in the name of Jesus. Lord, for anyone who's broken a bone from sports injuries, God, we just ask that you come right now and that you bring your healing power and your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. All right, for any of you that can, go ahead and test that out. Go ahead, move your wrist in a way you couldn't move your knee. Yeah. Yeah, is anybody better? If you're better, go ahead and raise your hand. If there's no pain in your knee, that's awesome. All right, let's give Jesus a hand for what he's doing. No grinding, no pain. Come on, I love it when Jesus heals the ministry teams. You come and you want to pray for other people and Jesus just heals you. That's good stuff. Yeah. More, Lord. Yeah.
All right, God is good. I love the supernaturally natural way that God moves. He just kind of moves through the crowd and says, hey, let me heal you, and I'm going to heal you. Let me tell you something. In this atmosphere right now, the Lord is touching souls. There's somebody here that either does not know Jesus Christ or you once knew him and you've drifted away. He's inviting you back right now. I mean, he's the Father that comes out and meets you as soon as he sees you. If you're here tonight, and you know in your heart, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, or you asked Jesus at one point and you've fallen away, we want to pray for you right now. We want to welcome you into the purposes and the kingdom of God. I don't want to go through the evening without touching on that. Anyone here in that position right now, you say, please pray for me. I need prayer. Raise your hand around the room. We want to pray for you right now. Right here, this woman right here, anyone else? I don't want to miss anyone. Real quick, just wave your hand at me. Pray. There's God's doing some things in here right now. People are encountering God, some people for the first time in their lives right now. So just let's be respectful of this moment. Lord, we just pray, Lord, you will reach souls right now. Souls into the kingdom in the name of Jesus, Lord. All around this room, you would touch people. Lord, your heart is for the nations of the world. This is not an American thing, Lord. This is a worldwide lifting of your name over the nations. And we bless the nations of the world right now in the name of Jesus. All around us in Jesus' name. Anyone else that we miss that does not know Jesus Christ, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life. never revealed himself to you in the way that was described tonight, we want to pray for you. Anyone here, just raise your hand and wave it at me right now, and I'm going to pray for you. Anyone here? I don't want to miss anyone. Okay. Great. Well, this is what I'm really thinking we need to do next. If we can get, I don't know what it is. I know it's kind of warm in here tonight, but I feel like we need to get together a little bit. That's the thing you don't do when it's warm, but I'd like to invite everyone to come up and just, this is our last night, obviously, of our two nights and in our day here, but we want to end off together waiting on the Lord. Sometimes when you bring wood closer together, it catches on fire quicker. And there's an intensity that comes to it. So if we can just kind of gather around this front area and spread right across the front, everyone who wants to come on up. It's only going to be a few moments for some. Maybe longer for others. And we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit. I feel there's an infilling. Yeah, if you want to, you can even come up on these side, up on the platform here, on these side wings if we need some room. In fact, some of you can go ahead and come up here so we can make some room.
thirsty. We are desperate only for you. We are thirsty, we are desperate only for you. Oh Lord, nothing else will do. Because we are hungry, we are thirsty, we are desperate only for you.
I think I know what we're supposed to do now. Louis and I want to commission everyone out of this conference and just basically to be carriers of the presence of God. And I declare over you tonight that this is the beginning of a revolution. I am. For Northeast Ohio, for Ohio itself. This is a benchmark moment we would look back at and say, I think something might have started that night of the move of the Spirit. And so I commission you right now. In fact, lay a gentle hand on the shoulders of people to the right and left there, just so we got a little bit of connection here. We're commissioning you as a group. You've heard some things, you felt some things, you sensed some things. But we want to send you out now that when you go to a Starbucks, when you go to Walmart, when you go to the school, when you go to workplace, something of the fragrance of God is going to go with you into that place. That transfiguration will take place because of Christ in you. And I bless you right now in the name of Jesus. I bless you in your rising up, you're lying down, you're coming in, you're going forth. That the favor, the grace, and the mercy of God would richly rest upon you every moment of every day of this week. That you might sense the very breath of God upon your neck. For he is your rear guard and he is your forerunner. And though 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, you will stand in the Lord because you know he is your dwelling place. I bless you with wings as eagles that you will soar over your troubles and your difficulties. And that he will establish you in a sure place. And that you will be a person who is built upon a rock and not built upon the sand. Because you are not a hearer only, but you are a doer also. And may the works of Jesus Christ, the good works of Jesus Christ, come forth out of you into this community. And Lord, we ask through these people for transformation of Northeast Ohio and transformation of Ohio, even going into the nations of the world. In Jesus' name we thank you, Lord. Amen.
So, Father, right now, I declare, God, over this house that we are en route to a valley where we will operate in apostolic authority. Father, I release an apostolic anointing upon each man, woman, boy, and girl in this room. Father, that we go with boldness, we go with courage, we go with confidence, because like John, we can declare the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory in fullness of grace and truth. I pray now, Father,
that when we walk, oh God, into tomorrow, that we would begin to recognize the miracle moments that you've already prepared. Even as you've hung the stars and the sockets in the sky, so have you hung, oh God, these miraculous moments into our lives. I pray that eyes would be opened, understanding would be decreed and declared, and we would walk, oh God, knowing that when one comes together, we put 1,000 to flight. But when two come together, and we declare even tonight that Bethel, Cleveland, Bethel, oh God, church, that church on the North Coast, God, that we have come together and we shall see the 10,000s that have held strongholds in this region be loosed in Jesus' name. So lift up your hands. Begin to give him a shout. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now that was pretty good. That was pretty good. But that wasn't the best you got. I heard some of you yell at your kids, and that's a lot louder when you yell at your kids. Listen, we're going to give God a shout that's going to ring these rafters. And the Philistine are going to hear it and go, my God, the God of Israel just came into the camp. So we're not shouting just to make noise. We're shouting to make a declaration that our God is with us. And we have beheld his glory. So are you ready? I know that we did this earlier tonight. And I believe it was a precursor to the way we're going to finish. Because the victory is in the shout. Amen. So are you ready? I know your voice is, you know, already worn out. But take a deep breath. And we're going to shout. And we're going to lift up the name of Jesus. And the devils are going to tremble. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. Shout! Pray hard, tell somebody I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. God bless you tonight. Drive safe on the way home. Check out the materials out in the foyer. Thank you for being a part of Hunger Conference. We're looking forward to being with you again real soon. God bless you.